Hello, everyone. We are back with another episode. This is episode 293 of Shut Up and Grind. And today we're going to be talking about the misconceptions of hypnosis and hypnosis for weight loss and a whole bunch of other stuff. But first, before we get there, if you are new to the show, we're all about overcoming obstacles, defying the odds, and helping you clear whatever's blocking your path to the successes that you want. So we're going to just dive right into the topic. And this is Renya rhymes with Kenya, who's coming back to share with us her knowledge and her expertise. So welcome. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Robert.
My pleasure. And if I remember correctly, you're in Canada?
Yes.
All right. Good, good. All right. So what have you been up to since last time?
Well, just keeping busy, helping a lot of clients, making positive changes in their lives through hypnosis.
Okay. And then, so what made you make the jump from what you were doing before into hypnosis?
I've always had an interest in hypnosis. So even though I went to school for product design and I've been a product designer for much of my career, many years ago, I started studying hypnosis, but it really started earlier than that. I can remember when I was a little girl, like ages 8, 9, 10, going to sleepover parties. Mm. And I can remember having somebody lie down with their head in my lap and I would rub their temples backward, or rub their temples and get them to count backwards from 100. And I don't know where I learned this, but somehow I must have seen or heard about it somewhere. And I used to love doing it all the time. And you know what? Even at that age, there were a few times that it worked and I really did get people into a state of hypnosis. And, you know, since then, I've always had a fascination with, you know, the power of our mind and beliefs. And I would love to follow some of the famous hypnotists out there. And then so I eventually started studying and I myself became a certified hypnotist and NLP practitioner.
Okay. And what is that?
NLP stands for neuro-linguistics programming. So Tony Robbins is the most famous NLP person out there.
Who's taking
those new heights. So it's really like understanding people's patterns. And the two together make a really unique combination of the type of hypnosis that I do at my clinic here in Canada.
All right. Awesome. Awesome. So according to your website, you do a lot of stuff with it. So where do you find the people that you work with?
Most of it is coming from word of mouth. So as people come through and have success on their programs, you know, I always give them a referral card when they leave and they pass it on to friends and family. So that is the number one way. You know, I am part of networking events here, or just like, you know, just putting it out there, doing a little bit of advertising here and there on in like some newspapers and things like that, or online. But definitely the word of mouth is the number one way.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this now?
I started my journey in 2019, and then I finished all my certification back in 2021, although that's still ongoing, but I started my business in early of 2021.
Okay. And in the midst of the tail end of COVID?
Yeah. Just after, that's when I opened up my clinic here.
Awesome. All right. So how does it work? Because, you know, like hypnotists get displayed in many different ways. And I remember I went to a show once where, you know, like they had people come up out of the audience and do stuff. Like I saw this on your website too, you know, and just having people do these outlandish things. And the thing that made me believe it is like, I don't think they would do that on their own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then just can you just explain a little bit like how it works?
Yeah, well, stage hypnosis, the comedy hypnosis, is very different from the type of work that I do in my clinic. Yeah. Comedy hypnosis is really a lot of fun, and it can really show people that as long as people are willing to go along with it, that you can be you can have the suggestion given to you and you can accept the suggestion to do these various things. But one certain thing to know is that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis and you're the one who's doing it. So I can't make anybody do anything that is against their will or against their morals or ethical judgment. There is an agreement there. But yes, a lot of people who do the comedy hypnosis, they'll comment after that, like, I was aware of what was going around, but I didn't care. And they're in a different state of mind. And that's the difference.
All right. Yeah. So I read also on your website where you said that hypnosis is like the state in between conscious and REM sleep.
It's so very similar. Yeah, it's very similar to the moments just before you fall to sleep. So, you know, like, let's say you're really close to falling asleep and somebody might say to you, hey, Robert, can you do this for me? And you're like, you don't even answer. You just don't care because like, you're in that state. That's the state. And when a person is in that really relaxed state, that's when they can accept positive suggestions more easily.
Okay. And so now with me being a fitness guy, you know, obviously, you know, my interest is piqued about how do you use it to help people lose weight?
Yeah, that is a really good one. So when a person comes for weight loss, the excess weight is a symptom of something else. And although each case is individual, most times it's how people deal with stress and they haven't been taught another way. So maybe an event happened earlier in their life that was, you know, really traumatic, or they found a way that, you know, sitting on the couch and eating made them feel comfortable because everything around them was so unsafe. So that would just be one example. But in that particular example, their unconscious mind remembers that. So as they go through life, even though the circumstances of their life is not the way that it was earlier, but they still remember that comfortable feeling. So when anything happens in their life as an adult, they're like, oh, I can always just like feel good on the couch and, and, you know, do that. So there's a really unconscious element to all of this. And in the sessions, you know, we bring all of this, you know, to light, we bring it to the table and help them understand that it's a pattern that was created when they were younger. And does it really need to continue on to where they are in this new phase of their lives? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Cause I tell people all the time that it stems from infancy, you know, like when really right from infancy, you either shove a bottle in the mouth or a pacifier, or you have thumb suckers. So when anytime stress arises, that's how they were soothed. And that just follows them throughout their entire life until they learn a different way.
Absolutely. So, you know, in a way that in itself is a state of hypnosis because they are repeating that pattern over and over. So I help to unhypnotize people from these patterns that they have and then hypnotize them into the direction that they prefer. So to have a goal is really important. And I'm sure that you use this a lot with your clients, like to have that end goal, like we know what you want to achieve, and keep your eye focused on that goal. Because I find that a lot of my clients, when they come in, they're so focused on the things that happened in the past and angry about the past. And, you know, of course, well, you know, when you're driving a car, you're not looking in the rear view mirror, you're looking many meters in front of you. Otherwise you're going to get into an accident. Yes. So having a goal is really important. And then the next part is also having them be able to like have this all be more conscious so that when they're out in their lives, living their life in the wild, I'm not following them around, but when they're at home, like how do they catch themselves and then, take it into another direction. So we give them all kinds of tools and techniques. And that's when the NLP also comes into play where the two work together.
I want you to just dive a little deeper on the having a goal part, because people think that that's so cliche-ish, but it's not. You'll be surprised the amount of people that I work with that really have, I'm talking people that go to the gym and it's like, what are you working towards? Like, what do you mean? It's like, what are you working towards? You know, like without having that crystal clear goal, or I should say having a crystal clear goal, I find that people work out way harder. They're more intentional about their nutrition, you know, and they're more conscious of when they're about to make poor decisions. So just what's your take on that?
Yeah, that is so important. Okay, I'll give you an example. So a lot of times people describe to me that, you know, they love the taste of food. So even when they're having, you know, lunch or dinner or breakfast, like it's just so good that they overeat. They'll have like seconds or thirds, right? So one thing that I teach them is to put in this pause, if you will, put in this pause. There's this thing called the naturally slim eating strategy where, so people who, you know, are fit and don't have a weight problem, they would just have like a normal portion size and they would be able to stop. And then there's sometimes the weight loss clients that I have, they can't stop. They go beyond that. It tastes so good and they just keep going. So putting in this pause right before you eat, focusing on where you want to go. So if you have that end goal, for example, then you can have that time to say to yourself, is what I'm about to put in my stomach, is it in alignment to that goal? And if the answer is no, then I'm not going to do it. And if the answer is yes, then that's okay. So do you see how having a goal makes them like stop and think about, is this in alignment to that goal? And will I take this action? Because having the goal is one thing. And then making sure that the actions that you're taking are in alignment to that goal is another thing too. So that would be one example of how a goal can be used to like really help them make decisions in the moment.
Nice. So when people come to see you, what are their number one reservations about being hypnotized?
It's all over. But at first, when they first meet me, they're afraid because they've been to a stage hypnosis show or they saw a movie. So I always offer a free screening session so that people can meet me, and it lasts for about 40 minutes. So I can debunk some of these beliefs that they have. They might have seen movies and they think that it's demonic, or that I can like make them do something, against their will. So I explain all that to them, and I explain that hypnosis was recommended as a field of study back in the 1950s by the American Medical Association, and that they're using it now in childbirth, and even professional athletes. Tiger Woods talks about using a hypnotist. So it's really a safe thing. And then I give them a little demonstration and a little test to see that, or to show them that I'm not going to make them go unconscious. I'm not going to make them black out. And so they trust that. And I find that as the sessions progress, maybe their third, fourth, fifth session, they really let go even more and trust me even more.
So how closely related is this to meditation?
There are definitely similarities. So if you were to hook somebody up to an EEG machine, you would see that, the brain waves would be different, because it really is taking people into deeper levels of relaxation. Meditation, oftentimes people are doing it on their own, or they're listening like to something that's guiding them. But in a way, I would think that hypnosis is easier than meditation, because sometimes like when people start meditating, they find it difficult to even just sit still in silence for like even 2 or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they progress, right? But when you're here with a hypnotist, you're reclining in a chair, and all they have to do is listen, because they're following my instructions. It's almost like a guided meditation anywhere in a way, but I'm getting them to follow along to whatever I ask them to do. And it's sort of like they might experience like seeing a movie. So they might see and hear and feel things, and they're just going along and surrendering. So they're very similar.
Okay. Interesting. So what other reservations do people have about it?
The number one is the one that I told you. They're afraid I'm going to make them do anything against their will, that I'm going to implant something negative in their mind. But once they realize that, once I go through and explain everything to them and to help them understand that at least the techniques that I use, that it's really about bringing their patterns from the past to their to the conscious. So helping them understand that, that happened in the past, and what are my patterns right now, and how can I break those patterns and take my life into new directions? So, those are really the biggest reservations that I can think. I think other people might think that, it might not work for me. It might work for everybody else and not for me. Like everybody else can lose weight, but I can't. So again, that has to do with a belief they have, right? So yes. Is that really true? Mm. Some people go into this like this martyrdom that, they're always like placating other people. So actually I'll explain this one thing that I get to do. Actually, you can do it with me, Robert.
Okay.
So point at this side wall, and I'll likely with your finger, I would like you to say, "It's all your fault."
It's all your fault.
Good. And now go, "Anything you want, I'm just here for you."
Anything you want, I'm just here for you.
Good. Now with your finger on your chin, very analytically, look at that wall and say, "If I were to analyze this, I would find."
If I was to analyze this, I would find.
Good. And now just go look up it and shake your booty.
I'm sitting down. I'm sitting down,
but
okay.
Look up. Okay. Yep. Good. Okay. So what are those four things? So, there's this famous family therapist. She is known as Virginia Satir. She's no longer with us, but she saw thousands and thousands of people in her career. And she noticed that everybody that came to see her would fall into one of four categories in terms of how they react automatically to things in life. So I'll tell you those four ways by telling you a story about four people in a boat in the middle of the ocean. And there is a hole in the bottom of the boat, and the boat is sinking. And the blamer says, "It's all your fault." And the pleaser or the placator says, "Anything you want, I'm just here for you," right? They'll say, "I'll swim to shore so the boat won't sink as fast." And then the analyzer says, "In exactly 7 hours and 3 minutes, we're going to sink and drown." And the distractor says, look, a bird." So these are ways that people just react to things in life, but nobody's actually plugging the hole in the boat. They're not taking the actions needed towards the goal, right?
Yep.
And so I help people understand. So to answer your question, what other reservations do people have? Some people are always in blaming mode. You know, they're always like have excuses why they can't, you know, I was labeled as this as a child, therefore I'm like this now, therefore I can't do that, right? Or sometimes people are a pleaser. So a lot of moms fall into this category. They might be somebody who they're always doing things for other people, but they don't have enough time to go to the gym and work out, right? Yep. They always put themselves last. Then the other person, the analyzer, right? They're very much in their heads, right? So they talk themselves out of doing things. You know, they make excuses, like they might go down, they might like start by eating chips. Oh, I already had one bag, I might as well like have another bag, right? And they get really in their minds. Or they'll come up with excuses. Dr. Google says that because I was labeled like this, therefore I can't do this. So a lot of things that could happen in the thinking mind, which a lot of people are there. Or the other one is the distractor, right? So a lot of people who are binge eating at night, watching Netflix, eating chips, right? They're distracting themselves. They don't want to deal with putting a hole in the or the plug in the boat.
Yep.
So people fall into these different categories. That's why they have these like reservations, not just about hypnosis, but about like making changes in their life. So I help them to see that and to put everything on the table and to also get them to a place where they're accountable for everything in their lives and they can't blame, they can't, you know, placate or distract or just be in their head about it. That they just simply take the actions towards the goal, and it's as simple as that.
Absolutely. You know, and I love how you ended that with it's as simple as that, because one of the biggest things I hear is, well, that's going to be tough. You know, okay, so it's going to be tough. Get it done.
You know, yeah.
Like just get it done. Like I coach a track team, and you know, this was my first season with them, and you know, all these kids have some type of anxiety or something nowadays, right? And so I spent the first 2 weeks just getting into their minds about how strong they are. I was like, you have the will. I was like, but do you have the courage? I was like, courage, I can't teach you. Like, I can discipline you. I can make you run faster. I can help you jump higher. But you have to want it. And then by the end of the season, they were wanting it. Mm-hmm. You know, and we ended up finishing off pretty well. But, I mean, I do that same thing with the adults. Like you mentioned, too, with moms. I use this line all the time. They always put themselves, I don't say always, but a lot of them put themselves on the back burner. And that's one of the first things I helped them with after we set the initial goal is like, you got to prioritize you. It was like, because everybody around you benefits when you are the best version of you.
Bingo. Yes. Yeah, that's so true. And the moms that often fall into that category. Right. And if people like, you know, who these have like tremendous weight that they need to lose, if they don't realize that, like no one else can do it for them. So another really important key is in the screening session that I offer people at first is I get them to convince me, like, are you willing to do what it takes? Like, do you really want this change? And I have to like know that, otherwise I wouldn't accept them as a client. Because what's the point if they're not willing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I do the same thing in when I'm doing personal training consultations. I mean, not so much in the group fitness, because some people are in that just for the social aspect. It's just like an outlet from life. But people that come in and they want private training and they have these lofty goals, yeah, I tell them upfront. I'm like, this is what it's gonna take to get it done. Like, if you're not ready to do this, let's not waste each other's time.
You know? Exactly,
so, because that's the thing. It's not about ability or anything else. It's about, do you want to get it done? It's like, if you want to achieve this thing, these are the steps.
Exactly. And you know what? Okay, let's say, you know, you're having a busy day and all of a sudden you feel like you have to go to the bathroom. You will simply just take the steps and go to the bathroom. No questions asked. If you really need to go, you'll be like, you'll be scrambling. You're just like, get out of my way. I got to go to the bathroom. And you don't think, you're not placating. You're just like going to the bathroom. It's the same thing. Like, you know, you have to like know that you just take the steps without questioning it. And that's it.
Yeah.
And so we complicate things, right? Because it's not like people wake up saying, today I'm going to gain 40 pounds. No, it's something that happens incrementally, right? And it's very unconscious. And like I said earlier in this interview, the unconscious mind, you know, really wants to keep us safe. And a lot of times, you know, that's a really good thing. So for example, if somebody learned how to swim when they were younger, and then if they didn't swim for decades, when they found themselves like in the middle of a lake and they're drowning, they would probably remember how to swim, right? Because their unconscious mind remembers that. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of ways, the unconscious mind is really helping us doing wonderful things for us. But in the case of, let's say, a smoker, because we have a lot of people who come for a stop smoking, you know, they might have started smoking to like fit into like, you know, all their friends to be part of a group, or maybe their family smoked, right? So they feel like they belong. And so their unconscious mind remembers that. And then, you know, smoking, you know, as they're an adult, maybe at work, everybody like goes, takes a break together and they socialize. Mm-hmm. So it's that sense of belonging. So that's, again, the unconscious mind remembers that feeling. But this is the ways that we have to like get in there. And a question that I like to ask people is, did you ever believe in Santa Claus? And they always say, well, I don't anymore. And I'm like, okay, well, you believed in something before and you dropped that belief just like that. And so you already did it. You dropped the belief. You can drop this belief too. And that's really a great way to get people to realize, oh yeah, I did drop a belief before. So, you know, as we evolve to these different phases in our lives as an adult, you don't need the same patterns as when you were a kid, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I was talking with my daughter the other day about that, because like, no, she goes through bouts of depression and stuff. And like she's pretty much abandoned by her mom. So like every now and then she gets, you know, she just has those feelings. But being raised with me, you know, it's like I'm an empathetic person, but I'm also just, I live in reality. You know, like that's just how I'm wired, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. It's who I am. So like when she comes to me with stuff, like she'll have to preface it sometimes and be like, I just need you to just come over here and give me a hug. I give her a hug. She's like, I don't need any life lessons or anything. I was like, just hug me. You know, because like when she's in her head, like I just like the way I equate it is like if someone's on fire, right, you just want someone to come and put the fire out. Right, it's like we're not gonna talk about why is your leg on fire? How did we get here? Right, you're just gonna come and put the fire out. So, when my child's in pain, it's like my first thought is let's get her out of this pain.
Yeah,
you know, but just sometimes people need a more gentle approach.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Well, you sound like you're an amazing dad.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, another analogy that I wanted to share, this was a colleague of mine. She was saying that, you know, the older iPhones, the batteries would die a lot sooner because if you had all of your apps open in the background, your battery would be drained really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like this, like these old patterns are in the background draining our energy. And so, you know, with the hypnosis sessions that I do with the clients is helping to like bring all this up and shut those apps off so they can have more energy.
You know, love it. Yeah. I love it. See, it's funny, right? The ironic thing with me is I dropped out of college because I didn't want to go through psychology. And now everything I do now has to deal with mindset, subconscious mind, conscious thoughts, like just the irony. I still ended up getting a degree without getting a degree. You know, oh man.
Well, isn't it all in the mind? Like, you know, we have our beliefs, and a lot of the beliefs that we have are given to us by other people, whether that be like our parents or like teachers or whatever. And we take these beliefs on, we co-create them. And you really can't have an emotion with having a belief first, right? Because you get upset about something you believe. But then also after that, your actions are in alignment to the beliefs that we have. So if you can really, you know, really take a moment and put in those pauses and know where those beliefs came from and say to yourself, was that really a belief that like was from me? Or like, do I really want to have it in my life or do I want to drop it? And I can tell you a lot of times when people realize that, you know, I don't have to do it like this anymore, then you can drop things. And so hypnosis also has to do with a lot of repetition. And repetition, of course, is the mother of all learning, right?
Yep.
So people have already experienced hypnosis-like states in their life without even realizing it. So have you ever had the experience, Robert, of driving home and then boom, the next thing you know, you're in your driveway?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been on the high. This was just last week. Like, I don't remember, like, 7 solid exits going by them. I was just in the zone.
Exactly, it was just a couple days ago. Yeah. And so, you know, we've driven home so many times that the last 3 or 4 blocks, you don't even really have to pay attention because you know it so well. Mm. Just like these patterns that we know so well, right?
Yep.
And then another example of a hypnosis-like state that we've all experienced is, have you ever had the experience of where you're watching a movie and you might laugh when it's funny or you might cry when it's sad?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an example of you reacting. You're having an emotional response. So it's an emotional suggestion. And your body doesn't know the difference whether you're watching a TV or whether you're having an actual interaction with another person or whether you're using your imagination. Like, your body doesn't know the difference. So, you know, what's really cool about hypnosis is NLP is you can get people into a different state. And you being, you know, an athlete, like, you've been involved for so many years in sports, like, you know that athletes get themselves into a state. It's almost like they have a ritual before they do their sport. Well, that's actually a form of hypnosis. You're literally changing your state. Mm. And whether or not you're a professional athlete, like, you can do this at any time. Like, for example, if you're about to head into a meeting that you think might be a little bit, like, you know, stressful, or even just going to work, you can put in that pause, get yourself into a state by remembering, like, certain wonderful experiences from the past, and wait until your body feels it, and then go ahead and do your thing. It's really powerful.
That's great. Yes. So I want to circle back to something you said earlier about, did I just lose it? No, you, God, what did you say? And this is live too, see, so I can't even, like, I'll edit this out. No, it's like, you just, oh, that how people get their beliefs from other people. And, you know, outside of fitness is, or just like maybe outside of class times, like, I help people with that almost daily. Almost daily. It's like, yeah, okay, so you had an ex-boyfriend 10 years ago that told you you were never going to amount to anything. Like, why are you holding on to that when you got people right here around you right now that tell you how awesome you are?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so it's like, why are you willing to lean in to that person who's putting that negativity on you when you're surrounded by 15 other people that think you're awesome?
You know? Yeah, and that is called an anchor. Have you ever heard of something called an anchor?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have positive anchors and negative anchors. And that particular example that you gave, that would be a negative anchor because that person was in a relationship with somebody that they loved. And when you hear it from, like, that type of person, like, you really put a lot of weight on their words. Mm. And this, again, you know, it's a emotional response. And it was so intense that they remember that, you know, it's something that's there in the background. So we have anchors that fire off all the time. So let's say you're driving down the road and you hear a song come on from high school and it brings you back to the good old days. Or
yes.
Or maybe you smell somebody's perfume and it reminds you of, like, an ex or a grandmother, right? Mm-hmm. So these are all anchors and we all know about them. But you can create an anchor, which is a great one. So I'm going to help you right now. I'm going to do a little experience with you, okay?
Okay.
So think back to a time in your life when you were laughing out loud with friends. So go ahead and close your eyes, Robert, and think back to a time when you were laughing out loud. And when you have that memory, let me know.
I got it.
Good. And now, okay, close your eyes.
Oh, sorry.
Now relive that experience and just notice if your body seems any different. Does it change at all as you experience that memory?
It's like my shoulders relaxed a little.
Okay. Anything else? No. Laughing out loud.
Well, I mean, there's that. Like, I'm cracking up picturing my friend doing the Running Man when we were in Miami in the middle of the road.
Okay.
Like, that was just hysterical.
Yeah. Okay, good. So open up your eyes. So, like, even just watching you, like, your face change, like, remembering that memory is great. You can, your shoulders relax, and probably you felt a little bit of a sense of, like, a lightness when you think about that, because it's funny, right?
Yeah.
So you just actually changed your state. So what we do is we get people to, you know, to put a movement to that. So whether it's like putting your hand in a fist or like touching your heart, so that every time you do that and you think of that memory and you do it often, because as I said before, repetition is the mother of all learning, then you're creating an anchor that is a positive one towards the feeling that you prefer. So that would just be an example of a technique, right? So it's really powerful stuff, because the truth is you have anchors that are firing off anyway.
Yeah.
So why not create one and consciously practice it? You're doing it anyway. You're using that same technology, but towards the reality that you prefer.
Yeah, this is kind of like positive affirmations.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because like the people that I have that struggle with self-confidence, I say every day, I want you to do this five times a day, right? Five times a day, right when you get up, mid-morning, lunch, between lunch and dinner, and before bedtime, look yourself in the mirror and say, nothing will break me. Just say it five times a day, then eventually you're going to believe it. Like, nothing will break me. Like I said before we went live, I had a hell of a year last year. Like, it was bad, really, really, really bad. And, you know, I had a pity party for a little bit. I am human, you know, but then I just had to remind myself, like, literally, I did this exercise. I was brushing my teeth. I just glanced up at myself in the mirror and I was like, what are you doing? It's like, you are better than this. You know, yeah. It's like, just, all right, finished up, and then just went right to work. And in just a matter of months, did a complete 180. You know, and it was just from that immediate shift. You know, so going back to earlier when you said it's that easy, like, it really is that easy. It's like, I made the conscious decision that day that we're going to write this ship, and we're going to write it right now.
High five.
Thank you.
That's amazing. That is amazing. You know what? I have to plug my computer and I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. No worries.
Just give me one second. No problem. Should have done this before.
It's all good.
It's about to die.
Yeah, I was a guest on a podcast 2 weeks ago, and same thing. I had to run off to grab my charger because I was at home on my laptop, and right when I got back with it, it died. So I had to wait for it to reboot, and then reconnect with her again. I was so embarrassed, but at least hers wasn't a live stream. So it's like, she's like, I can go back and edit that out. So.
Embarrassing. But you know what? I'm human. Hey, it happens.
Exactly. It happens. You laugh about it and you move on.
Exactly. Well, you know, I wanted to share, like, we have so many customer reviews on the website and also on our Google page. And one of the latest ones that just came in, it was so amazing. A teenager who, you know, through COVID just went through a lot of the anxiety that teenagers did, not being able to do the things that normal teenagers did, like when we were young. Mm-hmm. And so she was having a panic attack. She had to take medication and she actually stopped going to school, and she just put herself in a cage and was really, you know, just going downhill. So her and her mom came in for sessions, and after 9 sessions, she just like, she actually did a video testimonial and wrote a really beautiful review. And she was talking about how, like, it's like night and day that she went back to school. You know, she like starting to see friends again. She's even like dating somebody new, and she doesn't have to take the emergency medication that she used to for a panic.
Nice.
It's just so unbelievable. And I think a lot of people don't realize that they have choice. Now, as you know, free choice and free will, that's our superhuman power here on Earth. And people don't know that there could be another way, especially these teenagers who feel like they're stuck. And then they get labeled and diagnosed by a doctor, oh, you have like this or that. And then they take these drugs. And I'm not saying that drugs are, you know, not important. In certain cases, there are. In certain cases, I think that it's just a matter of teaching them how to like mature through experiences, how to forgive and let go. Because if you don't take those steps, and if you just like take drugs, I mean, they're not going to learn anything. They're not going to evolve. So a lot of it has to do with this crime of immaturity, and just knowing that life is going to have all these different, you know, phases that we go through, and the ups and downs, and learning how to deal with it in a positive way makes all the difference.
Yeah, I actually almost got in trouble at the high school where I teach, because I said that about the medical industry and just diagnosing kids and getting them on drugs, and they're not showing them how to actually cope. Now, I don't want to put them all in the same box, but
right,
you know,
course.
But like, you know, the money is in the medicine and the therapy visits, right? That's where the money is. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. So like, without that, they wouldn't be getting paid. You know, it's not like here with fitness, like, people are choosing to come here. You know, it's like we don't just not get them results, you know, out of fear that they'll leave and go to Planet Fitness or something. It's like, we do what we do. We put our best foot forward to get them to where they want to be. Like, you know, my daughter's been in therapy for almost a year and a half now, and I keep asking her, I'm like, what is the end goal? There has to be some type of an end goal. Like, you're not going to go talk to her for the next 5 years. It's like, what are you working towards? It's like, how are you unpacking everything? You know, because like, I don't get involved with the session. Like, she's 21 now. So it's like, I don't get involved in the session, but I just keep asking, like, when does this end? Yeah. You know? It's like, it has to end at some point.
Exactly. And you know, the more that you like focus on something, the more like you give energy to it, you know, energy goes to where your mind goes. And so are you going to just keep on like talking about things that happened in the past and your feelings about that for the next 10 years?
Exactly.
Right. So then talking about what we first started this conversation about, like, you know, focusing on your goal and making sure that your thoughts are in alignment to that. So, of course, if you had things that happened in the past, of course, like I think talking about it for a few sessions is really helpful. But yeah. Then do you need to do it for the rest of your life? You know, is that really going to help you change and feel better? Or can you take that experience and trade in the karma for wisdom and know that there's really no such thing as failure? It's all learning.
Exactly. Yeah. See, and to add on to that too, what are you going to do with that info? You know, yeah. So like when I'm helping people create stories, I'm like, all right, so you went through this bad accident and it took you 2 years to rehab, and along the way your spouse left you, and this is like you went through all of these hardships. What are you going to do with that info? You know, are you going to just continue to let that moment hurt you? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to take that info, talk about how you picked up the pieces, how you move forward and inspire other people?
Yeah.
Like that's where the magic is. Like the magic isn't in reliving the hurt over and over and over. And I was like, I've said many times on the show, you know, I watched my father die, you know, like we ended his care. Like I've never watched anyone die before. I will never, ever unsee that. But when I talk about him, I talk about what he left behind, you know, the memories, the things he's built. He was an engineer. You know, he's built some of the things in my old gym that still made its way here. You know, the teachings, the talkings, the kicks in the backside when I needed it. It's like, if you focus on all of that stuff and, you know, the gratitude that I had him as long as I had him, it's like, that's the magic in the story. So someone going through grief, they don't want to just hear, oh yeah, I went through grief too. It's like they want to hear how you navigate it.
Yeah.
You know, how do you navigate the grief? Because there were days like he was big into Smokey Robinson, like, you know, a Smokey Robinson song will come on, you know, it might choke me up for a second. You know, it's not like I never feel anything anymore. But again, when those feelings come, it's like, all right, the feelings are here. What am I gonna do with them? You know, so all right, let me go to the computer and let me blog about XYZ. It's like I just find some place to put that emotion so it doesn't just swirl inside and then continue to hurt me more.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I mean, we all have free choice, and it's either you're seeing the glass half full or half empty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, like one of my mentors, he always says, like, he has his genius creed, he calls it. And the very first thing is everything is your fault. Just like all about accountability. Now, I know there are some things out there you can blame on other. If you're just walking, mind your business, and somebody jumps out and beats you up, like, you know, you didn't bring that on yourself. But in most cases, like you said, you have the choice to see the positive or to see the negative. So that's spot on.
Yeah, for sure. So through hypnosis, again, it's helping people to actually take accountability for everything in their lives and to learn from it. And then, you know, taking that into a new direction, which is super cool and super powerful. So I feel very lucky to be able to help all these people in various things. So, you know, weight loss, stop smoking, stress management, confidence, you know, sports improvement, fears and phobias. Like sometimes people have nail biting issues or fear of driving over a bridge, but those are really just symptoms. It all really comes down to how people are dealing with stress, that it comes out in these unusual ways.
Yes. Yeah. Going back to identifying the source, you know, it's like, all right, you're afraid of going over bridges. Why? Like, what is the fear of being on that bridge? Like, what are you afraid of? You know, right. And again, because most people stay in a certain state because they, I always say, on one side you got problem, the other side you got solution. and stress and all that stuff lives right in the middle because people stay there. You know, going back to the fire analogy, if you're on fire, you want somebody to put the fire out as long as possible. Right. You know, so when, excuse me, when your stress is boiling over, at that moment, you're on fire, you know, and you got to find ways to get out of the fire. If you stay in it, that's where the bad things happen. People start self-medicating, you know, suicidal thoughts, like, you know, all that stuff happens because you stay in that state. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it too, you know, to what you said earlier, it stems back to people's childhood. Like, it's like if you're not taught to cope, then you're going to grow up as an adult who can't cope. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that leads to bad stuff.
And, you know, even if a person is not able to identify the exact source or experience, like, that's okay. What's important is you know that the pattern is here.
Yes.
Right? So, like, because people's memory of what happened in the past is not actually accurate. I mean, science has proven that now, that we're seeing our memory from our now perspective. So that's why if you have an accident and we have, like, you know, like five eyewitnesses, they tell a different perspective, right? And in many states, it's not even valid to have their testimonies because of this. And so, okay, so things may have happened like that in the past, or it may not, but you have your take on it or your perception. So what's important is the pattern, right? So I just want to get people to know, like, see their patterns in their now life, and to be conscious of it, and then to interrupt it, and then to hypnotize themselves into the reality that they prefer. So another big question that I would ask people in the very first session is, if I could wave my magic wand, and if your life could be exactly how you want it to be, and if you had 100% guarantee, what would that look like? And you'd be surprised that a lot of people can't answer that right away. Yep. They don't really know. Mm-hmm. So this goes back again to having your goal. Because if you don't know, how are you going to, like, drive a car? Like, you know?
So true. Planning is everything. It's absolutely everything. And again, even here in the gym, you know, it's like people say, oh, I've always struggled with my weight. And I'm like, no, you've always struggled with discipline. It's like, yes, that's what it is. You know, like, if you're telling me that you're logging your food, you're getting enough steps, you're drinking enough water, you know, you're watching your porch inside, you're doing all of this stuff, and you're training at least 3 days a week. If you're doing all of those things and you're not losing weight, then you can say you're struggling with weight. I was like, but most people struggle with being disciplined.
Yes, like, that's exactly. The bingo. You hit it on the head.
Oh, man. All right. So let's start bringing it down here. We've got a couple minutes left. Like, where can people find you? And like, do you have any offerings or anything?
Yes, people can find me on my website at lovinghypnosis.com. I do offer a free screening session so that people can come either in person or online. And the screening session lasts about 40, 45 minutes. And we'll go from there. I'll do a test to see if hypnosis would be good for you, if you're a good candidate. If I do notice that, you know, you're not, then I will tell you so. I'll be honest. And lovinghypnosis.com. And anybody who, like, comes in through your show, I'd be willing to give them a 25% discount.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, all right. Give us some final words.
Well, you know, we were born with a superhuman power of free choice. And that's the whole point of Earth. And the point of this life is to experience things. Like, we're here to experience things. And so what if you started waking up every day to think, wow, I wonder what's going to happen today? That really is a different way of looking at things, right? So I hope that people can be inspired by this and to take their free choice into their own hands and create something amazing.
Love it. I have nothing else to add to that. That was perfectly said. And thank you again for joining me. And gotta have you on my next panel too. Because I like the panels. I like your perspective on everything.
For sure. And, I also wanted to say, I do give free talks to businesses and organizations on any kind of topic, from, you know, stress management and pattern interruption. And that's totally free. So if anybody wants to book me either online, like a lunch and learn, I'd be happy to do that as well. So lovinghypnosis.com.
Awesome. Love it. Well, thank you very much. And you will definitely be hearing from me again.
Thank you, Robert.
My pleasure. See ya. All right.
You've been listening to Shut Up and Grind. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information from this show. Robert has over 20 years experience pouring his knowledge and expertise at many events in the service and fitness industry, as well as secondary schools and universities. He has a true passion for helping others break through the barriers that are holding them back. To book Robert B. Foster to speak or to reach out, go to robertbfoster.com. Till next time, shut up and grind.